Midcourt. Broadcasting live from our new state-of-the-art studio in downtown Chicago, it's Radio DePaul Sports, the student voice of your DePaul Blue Demons.
Welcome to another edition of World Sports Roundabout, the only show on Radio DePaul Sports that looks at sport and in a roundabout way tells you what the sports are all about. I nailed it that time. Oh boy, I'm very glad that I actually managed to knock it down this time around. Hey, I did it again. I rhymed it. Thank you guys for tuning in on this Tuesday afternoon. A little bit earlier than normal today, just because I have a ton of things that I need to do around the station this particular week. Want to apologize for not being here on Monday. Things had come up to the point where I just could not do the show. I could have done the show technically at around like 6, but I just did not feel like coming in and doing a show like that. So, we are doing the show today. On Tuesday, so we're going to do one company, what am I talking about, one country today, which is unfortunate just because we have the 30th and the 31st coming up, and I thought that we'd be done by now, but we'll try to figure out something. I might come back here on like a Wednesday, and I'll record the other show to kind of keep up with the timing and stuff like that. So, you know, have the show today, then record the show on Wednesday, and then from there, you know, post it on, like, the podcast and stuff like that, and then be back on track Monday and Tuesday, just to kind of make things work like that. But let's just go ahead and, you know, let's talk about some countries. Let's talk about Peru. The only thing I know about Peru in terms of just like the country in and of itself is that there was a viral video of a goat surfing, because Peru apparently loves their goats. And I remember John Oliver was like making this big joke that like more needs to be done about ISIS. I think it was like a Barack Obama quote that was like more needs to be done about ISIS or like ISIL or whatever you want to call them. And John Oliver was like, right, you know, America has done a lot to do it. So let's, you know, someone needs to step up. And I think we all know that Peru needs to step up. And then he was talking about this goat thing, you know, in a much more like comedic way than what I'm doing here. But yeah, that's about all I know about Peru. I know it's a country. I know it exists. I know it's a couple like little, you know, neat tricks and stuff like that. But like, other than that, like, I don't know a ton about Peru. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. There wasn't, I don't want to say there wasn't a ton, but like, you know, I wasn't entirely certain how much of this information I wanted to do. Because remember, we're not doing a full hour's worth of like this stuff. We're talking like maybe 30 minutes, maybe 45 minutes, depending on like how much I want to like focus on this. So let's just go ahead and get into it. And the only way to get into it is by starting. So let's go ahead and do that. So, if you ask just a random citizen in Peru exactly what their favorite sports would be like, most men would put football on the list, as it should, but most women would put volleyball on there. Kind of going in a little bit more into some of the other sports that are going on in Peru. Bullfighting is popular in Peru. It's one of the oldest. They actually have one of the oldest bull rings in the America, Plaza de Aco. Sited in Lima, it is still a very popular sport in Peru, but obviously anti-bullfighting groups, you know, animal activist groups, those kind of deals, you know, they pose you know, opposition to it. So then the popularity has definitely gone down in some years. Other popular sports include water sports such as surfing. You know, surfing is the big one, but water sports has gained popularity in Peru, and it makes sense because, I mean, Peru is still a coastal country in South America. That's actually, I think that is one of the few things I do know about Peru, is that there's a really big surfing scene. I just mentioned it was a goat thing. Like, surfing is really big, and goats are really big in Peru. But they definitely have a big surfing community there. I'm going to say it right before I move on. And so if it takes the whole 30 minutes, so be it. But this is not a difficult name. Sofia Mulanvovic. Sofia Mulanovic. There we go. Sofia Mulanovic, who is a Peruvian sportswoman, won the surfing world championship in 2004 and came second in 2005. She became the first woman, or actually the first person in South America to win the championship and be included in the Surfers Hall of Fame. On top of that, the Peru sailing team has made a notable appearances in the world championships. They've had a couple of wins and have won several awards. Taekwondo is also a very popular sport, and I guess it kind of makes sense. I actually worked with a dude who was had some ancestry back in Peru, and he was really into the old Taekwondo scene there. I actually did take a little bit of Taekwondo lessons. I stopped when it came down to like sparring, because I really did want to like kick people. I'm just not a huge fan. I kind of wish I did, honestly, because I mean, I think that learning some sort of martial art is probably good. Just not in terms of, like, you know, physical fighting skills, just a mental thing, just to let go and, like, do all that. But in any case, Taekwondo was introduced kind of in the 70s. It was introduced by Hakim Andres Palar, an instructor, master in the art of Taekwondo in Bolivia. And he introduced this form of martial arts in the 1970s, early 1970s. I'm going to try to pronounce the name. Please forgive me if I butcher this, but it's Arni Quimpanejos, I believe is how it's pronounced. And he introduced this form of martial arts in the 1970s, as I mentioned before. The first Taekwondo clubs in Peru was found in Arequipa, Peru. And then in the late 70s, Sabaninbon Old Park, Jesus Christ, was introduced Taekwondo to Lima. Lima is one of the bigger cities in Peru. I believe it is the biggest in Peru, if I remember correctly. But in 1979, Sabaninyonghe, after spending some years in Argentina, also joined Buon Old Park. And then some more martial arts started opening up. You know, the first martial arts competition was run. Practitioners of Kung Fu, Karate, Kyokun Shingai, amongst other, like, martial arts forms, alongside took part. And this was in 1982. You're talking about the first practitioners of Taekwondo being in the early 70s, the first Taekwondo clubs being in the late 70s, and then just 4 years later after that, the first competitions being run. It was the first time that Taekwondo athletes were able to take part in any national event. Although Taekwondo isn't as popular as it is today, it regained, you know, it still has some efforts. There's still some ground that could be made up since, you know, the mid-90s. Mid-90s was about kind of where, you know, the interest in taekwondo kind of faded off. It's no longer as popular as it was. And, you know, like a lot of 90 things, you know, it's just trying to make a comeback here, you know. There definitely is some ground being made, but it's still relatively popular in the cities. It's just something to do. Trying to think of other things that need to be said, but we'll go on and kind of talk about football here. So Peru's golden years of football was primarily in the 1970s. There are some sources that say that also the 1930s was like a really good year as well. But the 1970s for sure was like the golden period of Peruvian football. Obviously, being the most popular sport in Peru, the men's national teams has competed in the FIFA World Cup a total of 5 times, most recently in 2018 in Russia, in where, if I can remember correctly, I don't think they made it out of the group stage. Looking. Yeah, they were 3rd place. They won their game against Australia, but I believe that Denmark had to lose that game in order for Peru to win. Actually, no, they had no chance. They were eliminated, like, right off the bat. But they did beat Australia in the last game. Best results were in 1970 when they made the quarterfinals, and in 1978 when they also made the quarterfinals. In the 70s, I'm trying to see if there was any difference between, you know, where they ran and stuff like that. In 1970s, they were 2nd place in their group, and in 1978, and this one's at Argentina. They won their group, and then in the 2nd round, there was also another group, and then they placed last in their group. The 78 was in Argentina, and then 70 was in Mexico. If you want to ask me, like, which one was more impressive, we would say that the 71 is, because at the very least, like, in the 78, they did the 2 group stages, so you had the 1st group stage and 2nd group stage, and they were completely swept out in the 2nd group stage in 78. In 70, they did play Brazil, and obviously they were probably going to lose, but they did score 2 goals against Peru. They actually were 1 goal down entering halftime, and then they were 1 goal down entering the 70th minute, and then Jezerio scored a goal, and then that kind of ended everything. I think, was this the last year of Pelé? I think. Or did Pelé play one more FIFA series? I don't know. I feel like this was it for him. Yeah, this would be the last World Cup, because he did play in 71. So 70 was the last one. Oh, that's interesting. Big connection there. Again, we'll talk about Brazil probably concluding the end of the month of January here. But let's see. What else I want to talk about here? National team has also won 2 Copa America Cups in 1939 and 75. That's probably where the notion of, like, they're still golden renaissance was in the 30s, because they did win the Copa America Cup in 39. But Copa America is like a national, it's like a group, like a South American cup. So, I mean, you know, they did compete in the 1930 World Cup, which I believe was the first one in Uruguay. But, you know, I don't know if I would go as far to say, like, it's a golden era for the Peruvian football team. But at the club level, there has been significant achievements. Senero championships in the 2003 Copa Sudamericana and 2004 Recopa Sudamericana. Cienciano, that's how it's pronounced. Cienciano They won both those games. The Simon Bolea Cup was won by Defensa Oliva and Ilan Saliba in 1974 and 1976, respectively. And the Copa Libertadores under 20 championship was won by the Universitario de Deportes in 2011. Now, here's one of the big reasons why I didn't want to do, like, you know, if there was going to be a full hour-long show, this would kind of be it here. But the Peruvian football system is one of the most complex systems in the world. So basically, I'm going to spend, actually, let me go ahead and go on a break, and then we'll kind of talk about the Peruvian football system, because it takes a while, so stay tuned.
If you're worried your friend may be struggling, remember, you don't have to be there to be there.
You could say how are you or get a fake tattoo. You could ask with an app if it works for you. You could write him a text or knit him a sweater. If you can't be together, you could write him a letter.
Whatever did you talking? Whatever gets you talking.
Good chat on the game, kick off your flip-flops. You can ask on your couch while you binge watch. However you do it, you gotta ask a friend. And if they don't share, you can ask again.
Whatever gets you talking. Whatever gets you talking.
Reach out to a friend about their mental health. Learn how you can help at seizetheawkward.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Biking in Chicago is more than just a mode of transportation. It's a lifestyle. It's convenient, affordable, and with 13,000 bike racks, parking is never a problem. But with every reward comes a sidecar of risk. In Chicago, over 1,700 cyclists a year are killed or injured in bike accidents involving motor vehicles. Bike safety is simple. First, become familiar with Chicago bike laws. Know your hand signals and when to use them. Love your brain. Get a bike helmet that fits your noggin and deck it out with a headlamp and some reflective gear for riding at night. Bike at least 3 to 4 feet away from parked cars to avoid being struck by a car door being open. Motorists can do their part, too, by checking their side view mirrors for bike traffic before exiting their vehicle. Most importantly, remember that we're sharing the road. Looking out for both ourselves and each other is the only way to keep Chicago's roads safe, no matter what your wheels look like. For more information on bike safety in Chicago, visit www.chicagobikes.org. This public service announcement was brought to you by Radio DePaul, Chicago's College Connection.
It's the Animal Stories News Team. Uncle Air.
And little Tommy.
Here's a chance for you to win a shiny new dive.
Oh, good.
In the event of an emergency and you and your pet iguana have to evacuate, what's the quick way to carry your reptile out of the house? You have 5 seconds.
Okay, let's see. If you have an iguana, I guess I'd carry...
Oh, I'm sorry. Your time's up.
What?
You stick your lizard in a pillowcase or a cloth sack.
I was going to say that.
Get more pet tips at ready.illinois.gov.
Sponsored by the Illinois Emergency Management Agency.
We're back with more World Sports. I briefly forgot what this show was. This is World Sports Roundabout. Okay, so I'm left off when I was going to talk about the Peruvian football system. Here's what's going on. All right, so its general outline, essentially, it's three divisions. So it's Liga 1, Liga 2, and Copa Peru. That in and of itself is fine. All right? There are, I believe, if I remember, Liga 1 has like 16 teams. It's actually 19 teams. Copa League 2 has 13 teams and stuff like that. That's fine, obviously. And obviously the format of that is no different from most of the other leagues that we have talked about. And I don't feel like going into it. It's when you get to Copa Peru that things get kind of weird. Okay. So, in the national stages, Copa Peru is not a league in and of itself. It's a tournament. So, you have 50 teams fighting for 4 spots in Liga 2. If you get relegated down from League 2, in essentially, if you don't win the Copa Peru tournament, you get sent down to League 4. And that's where things get confusing, too. But League 3 is a tournament. So, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's a yearly tournament, essentially. So, yeah, it's a series of league tournaments leading to elimination tournaments here. You know, obviously, like, you know, what tournaments they are, I'm not entirely certain, or how the format kind of works. Okay, here we go. Thank goodness. Thank you for the internet here. But it's essentially five stages. So it's a district stage, February to May. Then, this, you know, it's a small league tournament that will help qualify for next stage. Then the second stage is the provincial stage. It's essentially like Little League, you know, Little League baseball, you know. You go through district, then provisional, then district, then another district stage. And then you go through regionals, and then you go to state, and then you go to national before you actually get to the Little League World Series. Or something along those lines. I think I'm missing a step here, because I remember when I was in the league, like, that's how it worked. It's like, it was like a district tournament, then it was a provisional tournament, then it was like a regional tournament, then it was the actual state tournament, and then it was the actual like regional tournament where you face off all the other states before you actually go to the Little League World Series. I think statistically, like, it's actually harder to go to the Little League World Series than to go to the NCAA tournament, I believe is what they said before. Because how many tournaments you have to go through and how many games in each of those tournaments are a lot different than if you go to the NCAA tournament. I think that's what I've read before. It's like one of the statistically hardest things to do in life. But I'm losing track. Let's go back. So the second stage is the provisional stage, play through June and July. Then the district winners play in the group stage. They play in the department stage. That's the third stage. It's another league tournament, July through September. Then in 2015, they started the national stage. And that starts in the first week of September. That's where the winners from the department stage, or the departmental stage, play in the tournament. They play three games at home, they play three games away, for a total of six games against three different geographical. I don't know why geopolitical was the word that wanted to come out of my mouth, but it's geographical rivals. They only play against, you know, those winners. The stage winners play against the runners-up, vice versa. After six matches, teams 1 through 8 are placed directly into the round of 16s. And then the teams from 9 to 24 are placed in the repechage phase. And then teams 25 through 50 are eliminated and stuff like that. Then the teams play in a bracket tournament up to the semifinals. All teams qualified from semifinals will play final group stage known as the La Finalisma in Lima. And then the winner of the groups, you know, winner of the final group stage and the runner-up will be promoted to Liga 2. The final two spots, I don't know where those that format is. I don't know who the recupera charge stage is, because it does not state how the other two slots are made up. But anyone who's in League 4 can qualify for the Stage 3 tournament. That is something that is still true. But there are 7 stages, I believe. I'm trying to pull up the actual like listings of it. Because here we go. I think this is probably it. Liga 2, and then Copa Peru, and then Ligas Departamentales. Here we go. the Peruvian football. No, that's not it. One of the things that I absolutely hate is like using Wikipedia. Like sometimes you click on a link and tries to get you there. Okay, here we go. Here we go. The Departamentals League is 25 leagues. It's 25 leagues. And I don't know how best to explain it, but let me state all the teams that happen to be situated in Liga Departamental. It's Liga Departamental de Amazonas, Ancas, Upper Gumaca, Arequipa, Acuiaro, Calo, Cuso. Like, there's just a ton. It's departmental leagues in essentially different varying regions of, you know, the country. You know, it's kind of like having a state team, you know? Like, college football has, like, tons of teams in each state. And let's assume that, like, the state had, like, its own league. College football is probably the best way to kind of understand that. Like, you know, if from South Carolina, like, you know, there's University of South Carolina. Like, there's Clemson, Coastal. East Carolina's technically not in Columbia, but I'm sure that we could argue that they are in there. But there's a... Geez, what are football teams there? Charleston Southern is one of... That's another football team that's in there. Furham is there. Presbyterian. Like, let's assume that all those teams played in a football division, and then they were fighting to be part of, like, the Southeast Conference. No, not even Southeast Conference. Let's say the Sun Belt. You know, Sun Belt, I think, fits a little bit better. Like, that's what you're talking about with Liga Departamentals. There are 25 teams, varying anywhere from as little as 5 clubs to as many as 24 clubs in their division. And if for some reason, like, I get it now. Essentially, so remember when I was talking about the district stage and provisional stage and stuff like that? The 6, 6, and 5 are essentially part of the Copa Peru League. So essentially, you know, those are tournament stages. And it was actually a line that actually didn't make sense. So essentially, like, if you started off in 6 and you've won the tournament, you will jump up 4 levels by the time you actually end the year. So, like, if you start off in Ligas Distritales First Division, which is the district stage of the Copa Peru tournament, then you go to, you win the district, then you jump to the provisional stage. That's stage 5. That's stage 2, the provisional. Then you actually go to the departmental stage. That's stage 3. And then the actual Copa tournament goes on. That's stage 4 and 5. And if you somehow win it, you have jumped 4 different tiers of football. Now, there is a 7th tier of football. And that's Liga Distrital's 2nd division, which essentially are the teams that aren't good enough to actually make it into the Copa Peru League. Whew, I am tired. That I don't know. I feel like that's way too complex of a system, though. Like, to have a tournament that essentially could jump a team 4 divisions up. And I'm guessing what happens, too, is that if you qualify for the 6th tier, essentially, and somehow, let's say you get knocked out in the 5th tier, like, the following year, I'm sure you're in the 5th tier. It's kind of like tournament in where, like, depending on how you did the prayer, like, how you did that year determines how you rank the next year. So, like, you might have to go through a group stage to qualify for the group stage that actually qualifies you into the tournament. Or if you do super well, you actually just jump into the group stage of that tournament. I think that's essentially what it's like. And I mean, that's kind of cool. But, like, it's just weird that, like, your promotion, you can't really promote yourself into the second league without winning a tournament. And then, like, I guess it doesn't really promote spending either. Because, I mean, in a theory, you might be just good enough to like continuously be there in the fifth tier, because there is no like fourth tier, if that makes sense. Like the fourth tier is essentially like all the teams that competed in the sixth and fifth tier combined into a tournament. So I don't know. To me, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make a whole lot of like financial sense. Maybe that's not it. Maybe that's not even it. It just doesn't make a ton of like logical sense, because like I fear that the teams that are like in one and two are just the same teams every and every year. They're, you know, and even the teams that are going through promotion and relegation, like the teams that are relegated from one are going to be in two, but they're probably going to be in one again at some point. Like their teams are just switching between one and two. And then like the few teams that are just really, really bad, you know, eventually go into three and then just win the tournament and just jump back to two. And it just repeats the cycle. Like there's no incentive to really spend money unless you're just one of those teams that lucked out and are essentially, you know, you've made it this so close to actually making it to, you know, two, to the point where you're actually going to spend money to actually compete in that. That's just my thought on it. You're free to disagree with me here, but I'm going to just go ahead and move on, because we do have a couple of more things to talk about before we get into the show. Until the mid-70s, Peru actually had one of the best national basketball teams in South America. I know we talk about like Brazil and Argentina and I think Uruguay having some of the good like basketball teams in South America, but Peru, I've heard stories about the Peruvian basketball team being really good. But since the 1973 South American Basketball Championship, where Peru won the bronze medal, international victories have become relatively scarce. I believe their best performance, when I saw it, I believe it was ninth in one of the most recent tournament, but it's not necessarily all that great. While there is no rugby league that's like played in Peruvian soil, Peru does have a national rugby league team. They made their debut in 2015 on October 17th in the first Latino Sevens competition. Peru also has a water polo team that finished fourth in the 2018 South American Games. And then Peru's national under-20 water polo team also, that's a sign you're hungry. They made their debut in the 2021 FINA, or the Federation International something aquatics. I don't know what the N stands for there, but in the Junior Water Polo World Championships. Going back up to something that I actually like briefly touched on, the women's sports, volleyball is the most popular sport. In the 1988 Olympics, Peru was awarded the silver medal in volleyball, as they were the dominant force of women's volleyball in the 80s. Nowadays, not so much. You have other teams such as the U.S. I think some of the Nordic nations, Russia, China, those kind of places. I think they're a little bit more relevant in this, you know, in the scene versus someone like Peru. But it is what it is. Actually, that is it. Like, the volleyball thing was kind of it. And so, you know, 30 minutes. A 30-minute show and stuff like that. I think, actually, what I'm going to end up doing is I'm probably going to end up just recording the episode and just posting it straight onto the podcast. Which, you know, we will be... Which, like, the episodes, like, prior will be posted sometime this week. I just got to get through, like, some of the schoolwork here. It's not hard. It's just time-consuming. And unfortunately, like, if it's time-consuming, like, once I finish with it, I'm just not, like, in the mood to do anything else. But I'll make sure to do something with it. Like, it should be up and uploaded, like, Thursday. Should be. We'll see. But yes, that will conclude it in terms of Peru. Let's see what the next country will be, the one that that I will be talking about next, or the next show at the very least. Trying to pull up a map, stupid map, stupid internet. So we talked about Peru, of course. Like, they don't give me an actual. I think it's probably Bolivia, if I remember my countries correctly. It's probably Bolivia, maybe Chile, maybe both, honestly, just considering it. And that one actually might be like an hour long, just to cover both of them. And then we'll kind of talk about Paraguay and Uruguay, and then maybe talking about Argentina and Brazil. Maybe just do like boom, 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 boom. Or maybe do separate episodes to like Chile and Bolivia and Chile, because I'm sure that could be like something super quick I could do just at home. Paraguay, Uruguay, and then just next week come in with like Argentina and Brazil. I have yet to determine that. It's something to think about. It's definitely something to think about that could definitely be done. Stuff like that. But yeah, next, we get the 30th, we get the 31st. Which definitely means for sure that we'll be done with South America starting on the 31st. And then after that, I'm not 100% certain on what I'm going to do afterwards. I have no idea about the framework of the show. Because by that time, by the start of February, baseball season is coming around. And I kind of want to transition out of World Sports Roundabout into Bench Chatter. But we shall see. We honestly shall see, because I have no idea how we're going to go about this. How we're going to go about that. I don't mind doing the show. It's just like I have no idea where I'm going to go from here. I think the easiest way to go about it is to go I think the easiest way is to, just go straight into Europe. But, that's an episode a day thing. I don't think I could do, two episodes every so often. Stuff like that. I don't know. I'm a bit perturbed right now. But I don't want to keep you guys, I don't want to keep you guys here sitting here wondering what is he doing? What's going on in that mind of his and stuff like that? But we're going to go ahead and end the show. Again, thank you guys so much for tuning in today's show. Sports Flash is the next show that's going to be coming up. It's going to be at 4:00 this afternoon. Hope you guys sit down and tune into that show. But for that, until then, I'm Brandon Bones signing off. See you guys next week or on a podcast or whatever else that I end up doing. All right, guys, bye.
Hey there, DePaul. If you like what you're listening to, why not join the Radio DePaul sports staff? If you have a passion for sports media, we definitely want you. We offer students the ability to do live game coverage, host their own sports show, do podcasts, write blogs, and so much more. All in our state-of-the-art loop-based studio. It's a great way to connect with like-minded students and get your foot into the sport media world. If you're interested, please go to www.radiodepaulsports.com/apply and fill out the application, or email radiodepaulsportspd, that's radiodepaulsportspd@gmail.com, and one of our wonderful staff members will typically respond to your request within 48 hours. So what are you waiting for? Apply to Radio DePaul Sports today and be a part of the student voice of your Blue Demons.